Welcome to Direct Line with Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler. Direct Line, religious topics without preaching, mixing politics and religion and not shying away from controversy. You're not going to find all your answers, but you will always find an opinion. This is Direct Line. And now your hosts, Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Direct Line. It's Wednesday, March 13th. I almost said 23rd. I should know this day, March 13th. Welcome to Direct Line. It's Greg and Steph. We're going to have a couple friends join us at the bottom of the hour. Dean Crandall, an elder at Second Church, and Tracy Thomas, our discipleship minister, are going to be in studio. And the whole second half of the show is going to look at worldview and the Colson Fellows program and why that matters. But I want to start by asking Stephanie, the worship minister, do you know the name Jeremy Camp?
Yep.
What do you know about Jeremy Camp?
He's a Christian music
he
artist.
He is. Like, are you a fan of the music or not really? Like, I don't know that I could name one of his songs,
yeah,
but I think if I heard them, I would recognize them.
Same with me.
But news is breaking in the Christian world that he had a very serious heart surgery that he and his wife, Adrian, were asking for prayers from the Christian community. He made it through successfully. He's just 46. I like the fact that, you know, a lot of times when people go through this, they're very quiet about it. You know, they lean into their privacy, which they, of course, have the right to do. They came forward and said, hey, this is uncertain. We're not sure what's happening. We need your prayers. The news, the report was good. But what I remember about Jeremy Camp is the story that we learned from the movie I Still Believe. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, I Still Believe or not. But Jeremy Camp kind of had like a picturesque storybook romance, met his wife at Bible college. They were married. He just is rising as a Christian musician. She ended up dying within a year of their marriage together of a very aggressive form of cancer. And I'm not your typical Christian movie connoisseur.
Right.
Although I got to say I'm changing. You know, The Chosen has impacted me.
Yes, for sure.
Jesus Revolution has changed me. But I was on an airplane coming home from Beirut a year and a half ago, and they give you movie options. I can't sleep. You know, I need to just get one of those knockout pills, I think,
because
then I might be able to. But the movie choices, I just was uninspired. And I saw I Still Believe. And I remember that some people had shared with me to check it out. And I got to tell you, on that flight coming home, middle of the night, I'm just weeping as I watch. It really moved me. It really touched me. Now, I don't know if it's because I hadn't been asleep for 24 hours or what, but since I watched that movie, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Jeremy Camp and love the fact that just kind of threw it out there. It's a reminder that I think as Christians, one of the blessings that we have is we don't have to go through things like that alone. We can call on the community. You know, we've had multiple instances this year where church members facing very serious medical procedures, surgeries, have said, you know, will the elders pray over us? That's very biblical, you know, to come and anoint. And I share that because this Sunday at Second Church, we're leaning into one of the challenging aspects of First Peter. Peter addresses head on the reality of why do Christians suffer. You know, there's an entire discipline within the world of theology called theodicy. Why do bad things happen to God's people? And just looking around this last Sunday, knowing that this is coming, I looked out and I see multiple people. They are really struggling. You know, sometimes it's a relational issue. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's challenges with their kids. Maybe it's health. You know, just facing very uncertain times. And it's kind of odd to say this, but I'm really looking forward to the service on Sunday and the opportunity to try to answer that question. Why is there suffering? And more important, what do we do when the storms of life come our way? So
I saw a good thing on Facebook. You know, sometimes you don't see good things on Facebook. But this morning I was up early, and one of my friends from Ohio posted a story. It was on CBS News. I'm not sure what day, but actually it says March 4th, but it was about a young husband and wife were married. And within 2 years, her husband was in a terrible car accident and was, I mean, he wasn't the same person. I mean, mentally, emotionally, physically. And she took care of him.
Okay.
But decided that she wanted to find love again. And so she divorced him, but he stayed in her house.
Oh, wow.
And she remarried, and she and her new husband have become legal guardians of him, and they both take care of him.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's quite a love story.
Yeah.
I mean, and he, the new husband, said if there were some miracle that happened and he came back, I would leave.
Yeah.
And he said if something happens to her and she dies, I will continue taking care of Brandon, was his name.
That's some agape love right there, that unconditional love.
Unconditional love and suffering.
Yeah.
That suffering happens and how you deal with it. I mean, she could have totally walked away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she... They live the three. I think she did end up putting him in a nursing home, but comes back and celebrates, you know, a couple days a week with the family and their children. Now that they have, they call him Uncle Brandon.
Wow,
isn't that something?
It's unheard of. That's what I would say.
I'll tag you in this so you can watch the interview, because it really is pretty meaningful when you think difficult things happen to people and how are you going to handle it?
Right.
It's a kind of an interesting and creative way to handle this one. So,
Anyway. One other article that caught my eye on the Christian Post yesterday, there's a recent Barna study that came out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the news following the COVID outbreak was just how tough it was on ministers, and people are getting out at higher rates than ever before. But this new Barna study says actually fewer pastors want to quit. Younger ones are still very much at risk, but it seems like maybe we've turned that corner. And see, it's kind of a double whammy in some ways, because you have ministers that have been saying, I want to get out. Mm-hmm. But then you have more and more young people that are saying, I don't want any part of it.
Right.
And so we've used this phrase, the ministry pipeline is empty. I thought this was really good news, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, why is that? Why is that unfolding? You know, is it just that it's more distance from that really difficult, you know, kind of season that we experience, really more than a season, you know, multiple year period of time? Is it that people are praying? Is, you know, we had the Asbury revival last year. You had these kind of outbreaks. You had the Jesus Revolution movie that kind of sparked a lot of conversation. I wonder, is that a factor in it? You know, and I don't know. I don't know that we will know the answer, but I thought it was really good news that most of the time when I see a Barna survey, it's not going to scream good news for whatever reason. You
know, do you think it could be, too, that people have lived through the pandemic, but it has caused there to be a realization that we need somebody, we need something greater than ourselves.
Yeah.
We need a God.
Yeah.
And that pastors are saying, okay, I still have a huge impact that I can make in people's lives, because the answer really still is Jesus. I don't know.
I hope that's what it is. You know, I don't know, but it's just a reminder, if you're listening and, you know, maybe at one time, one season, you were connected to a church and that's faded for whatever reason, it's never too late to say, I'm going to jump back in. You know, I had a long conversation with somebody last night at Celebrate Recovery, had really kind of not been in the regular rhythm of worship. And then this storm of life has visited, which that happens a lot of times. And, you know, my encouragement was, I can't pray a prayer right now and all your problems are going to go away. I wish I had that power. I don't have that power. But I would tell you, lean in, you know, don't push away. And, you know, I think she's at a place where that may be exactly what happens. So good news for once
from
Barna. So
glad to hear it.
Hey, let's go to break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Second Church, and then we're going to have Dean Crandall and Tracy Thomas from Second Church joining us later in the show. You're listening to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, March 13. Greg and Steph will be right back after this.
You know, it's easy to make promises. The hard thing is keeping them. Sunset promises to carry your load at a most difficult time. To the communities they serve, they promise to be there for your children, your churches, and your organizations. Sunset promises to help our veterans. They will support them with the same level of commitment these veterans had as soldiers defending our freedom. I'm Judy Fraser, and if you're looking for a family that keeps their promises, I would suggest you make just one phone call, Sunset Funeral Homes and Cremation Centers.
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Services most important in our agency, Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-217-217. 260-5647.
This is Deanna from the Witzel Family McDonald's. Our family and staff enjoy being a part of your family's lives. From a stop at McDonald's on your way to work or planning a lunch with friends or coworkers, we understand
you need quick and friendly service with hot and fresh food. I'm Don Witzel. We strive to fill that need every day. Whether you're on your way home
from school or work, the Witzel Family McDonald's are waiting to serve you an afternoon snack or family dinner. This is Rob Witzel, along with my wife, Haley. We're thrilled to now be
serving our customers in Covington, Indiana. As a member of the family, we're proud of the team's commitment
to all of our customers and communities of the Witzel Family McDonald's in Covington, Danville, Georgetown, Hoopston, and Oakwood. This is Jason Spencer, along with my wife, Katie. We invite you to stop by your favorite
Witzel Family McDonald's today. At McDonald's, we're a part of every community.
Now is a great time to join the Witzel Family McDonald's team. Competitive compensation, flexible hours, and locations across the area make McDonald's a smart choice. Apply today at McHire.com. That's M-C-H-I-R-E.com. Joining the Witzel Family McDonald's team is only a click away.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Well, welcome back to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, March 13. Greg and Steph, and I said at the bottom of the hour, but we're blessed right now, segment two, to have with us Tracy Thomas, discipleship minister at Second Church, and Dean Crandall, who's an elder at Second Church, but also a Direct Line sponsor. And so, Steph, we couldn't do Direct Line without some awesome sponsors like Dean and Gina. Who are we saying thank you to?
Yeah, we're thankful for Dean and Gina with Morgan Stanley, the team at Hans Tank Wash, the Darby family with Sunset Funeral Home, Don and Deanna Witzel with McDonald's, Chris and Dacia Robinson with Robinson Chiropractic, and Bill and Mary Lou Knight with Lakewood Insurance.
So 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, a week and a half ago on Sunday morning at Second Church, Dean, you shared kind of an extended interview with our church about something called the Colson Fellows Program. And I had shared, I'd never heard of the Colson Fellows Program until about 5 years ago right now. I still remember sitting in Drew Mentzer's office with you and Dale and Kylie for an extended period of time, and you sharing with me, hey, do you know anything about the Colson Fellows Program? And if you end up coming, I want you to, you know, seriously consider going through it. I think when you went through it, it was called the Centurion Program. But right. What is the Colson Fellows Program?
Well, it was started by Chuck Colson,
yep,
who was Richard Nixon's hatchet man,
yeah,
who ended up doing jail time for his role in Watergate,
right,
and then came to faith kind of during that process. An amazing intellect. I saw him speak. I was thinking that you've asked me often, how did I come about doing this? And
yeah.
I think it's because I saw him speak in Indianapolis probably in around 1990, 1989, 1990, 1991.
Okay.
And then became, you know, followed his radio program, Breakpoint.
Yeah.
But basically, Colson Fellows is a 10-month program. It begins in July of every year, concludes in May. And then students are fed a very carefully curated curriculum on worldview.
Yeah.
So you have assignments every day. You wake up, you go to your computer, and you have online assignments. You attend monthly cohorts. You're going to read 13, 14 books maybe,
yeah,
on Christian worldview and other worldviews. And it's just a total immersive experience in all things worldview.
You used a phrase during the interview that I really liked. I think you called it kind of the spiritual greenhouse experience. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think most people, if they look at their spiritual journey, it's probably peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
You know, you have the mountaintop experience, and then you go to work Monday morning, and it's the world. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be nice if we could maybe plane that out a little bit,
right,
have a gently upward slope,
right,
so that we're spiritually growing throughout our lives. We're never really done.
Right, right.
And I think it's important time to time to put yourself in a greenhouse, to oxygenate yourself with, immerse yourself with truth, with mm-hmm. study, with discussion of other people,
mm-hmm.
and to really mm-hmm. just try to become wiser, try mm-hmm. to discern more, mm-hmm. And seek truth.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to have intensive moments. You can't do it your whole life.
Yeah.
But put yourself in a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And do some hard work.
Practically, can I ask you, how has it changed your life? I'm not talking about how much knowledge you have gained, but in dealing with people, how has it changed your life?
Yeah, it's given me confidence because this sounds arrogant, but most people really don't understand what a worldview is. Mm-hmm. We all have one. Most people don't even know it. It's kind of like, does the fish really know it's swimming in water?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so I think we are totally at the whim sometimes of the cultural pressures around us, and we don't really even take time to ascertain if what we're seeing and experiencing is truth. And I hate to get too heady on this.
No, but, you're right.
But you said, how has it changed me? It's helped me to seek truth. Hmm. And I will seek truth no matter what trail it leads me down. And it is the Colson Center has showed me some bad presuppositions I had as it pertains especially to a prison.
Yeah.
Prison, you know, how are we to rehabilitate people?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what more than anything, it's just, it helps you be the happy warrior, you know?
Yeah. Hmm.
If you're confident in what you know, it's not as if you want to beat people upside the head with your knowledge, mm-hmm. but you can very winsomely now engage in cultural context conversations and hopefully help lead people toward the truth.
Very good.
So Tracy, you're a little fresh. Dean went through this program, 15 years ago, something like that.
14, yeah.
You're going through it right now. You're right. In month 9. Right
now, yes.
First of all, how you doing?
doing well. I tell people, and I don't want to give a false sense of what the program is. The program is not hard. The program is consistent.
Right.
And I think one of the things you have to do is you just have to be prepared to dive in daily
right.
with some of these issues. I remember being in Bible college and talking about worldviews.
Yeah.
And we were immersed in worldview culture. And what does it mean to see life through the filter of Jesus Christ as our Lord?
Right.
But the one thing I was really lacking, I discovered it a few years ago. I was listening to a James Emery White podcast,
yeah.
and James Emery White was talking about, it was the year end, and every year at the end of the year, he always goes back and says, okay, what were the Google top 10 searches?
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
were the top 10 movies? What were
yeah.
the top 10 songs that were
yeah.
out there? And I was embarrassed. I didn't know any,
yeah.
I didn't know a thing. And I thought, I understand worldview so well, but do I understand what Colson calls the cultural flashpoints?
Right.
What is going on in our world that really Christians are called to help be restorative in,
yeah.
you know, those areas of our world. And
yeah.
and I realized how neglectful I had been in understanding those things. So the Colson Fellows has really helped me to figure out not just what is happening,
yeah.
but how do I apply the worldview, creation, fall,
yeah.
restoration, redemption,
yeah.
restoration?
Right.
How do we apply those? And so,
yeah.
Yep.
yeah. Steph,
so
what
we're
do you
in
think?
March.
Yeah.
What are the top three cultural flashpoints so far this year?
The top three cultural flashpoints this year. You really want to go there?
On the radio. I don't know, top ten. Can
yeah.
you name one or two?
I tell you, yeah. just from a general standpoint, without diving into some of the specifics, the general point is there is just real confusion about what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. What it means mm-hmm. to be made in the image mm-hmm. of God.
Yeah.
What it means to be male and female, mm-hmm. created male and female.
Yeah.
So I think that issue is just really permeating everything that we do. What I think from a cultural standpoint, what is our role on the world stage? What is it we are supposed to be doing as Christians? Where does the kingdom of God hold sway? And how does the kingdom of God hold sway in every area of our lives?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think we get caught up in some of the minutiae. We get stuck in the weeds on some things,
yeah.
and we fail to realize what it is that Jesus is calling us to be and do.
You know, I quoted a Barna survey earlier mm-hmm. in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Barna survey that came out 3 years ago that said only 37% of American preachers have a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I read that, and that was just stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, if you are not someone that leans in, if you're not someone that reads, if you're not someone that immerses yourself, it's the whole Karl Barth thing. You know, I wake up every day, I've got the Bible in one hand, I've got the newspaper in the other, but I interpret what I read in the newspaper through my study of God's word. And I think for some, they're just crumpling up the newspaper and throwing it away, you know, and saying, I'm going to go bury my head in the sand. And I think others, whether they realize it or not, they're interpreting what they read in God's word through what's happening culturally in our world today. So
yeah, the word of the day is syncretism, right? I mean, this syncretism, this idea that we can mix things up, and there are certain things that we have views that are biblical, some that are cultural. We just kind of, we just kind of pick from the buffet table what we'd like to believe and what we don't want to believe, and and unfortunately, it's affected even our spiritual leaders.
Yeah, Dean, you talked about that, you know, when you were sharing in your interview a week and a half ago that, you know, a lot of people, whether they realize it or not, they're saying, well, I like this from Christianity. I love the go to heaven part. Okay. I love the grace of God part, but maybe there's something from Buddha that touches me.
Yeah, it's a cut and paste mentality.
Yeah.
This Buddhist thing sounds really cool to me.
Yeah.
Maybe there is reincarnation and this part of postmodernism sounds great. And I'm not against this part of Christianity. That's fine. I'll paste that in.
Right.
And what you end up with is an amalgam of garbage.
Yeah.
And very distorted view. So, yeah, I think a lot of people who profess to be Christians haven't even given this a thought.
Right.
And they don't even, again, they're the fish that doesn't even know it's swimming in water.
Right, right.
And let's take a good, hard look at the water we're swimming in right now.
Yeah.
And be people who understand the time we live in.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, we're going to go to break, bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're here with good news, because when you did the Colson Fellows program, Dean, you had to go all the way to Washington, D.C. three times a year.
Right.
I had to drive to the northwest suburbs in Chicago once a month. Tracy, you're driving to Indianapolis, and we've got good news related to that. So you'll hear the good news when we come back. You're listening to Direct Line. It's Wednesday, March 13. Greg and Steph with our friends Dean Crandall and Tracy Thomas. We'll be right back after this.
Hans Tank Wash is proud to support the Women's Care Clinic. Let's hear now from Interim Co-Director Mariah Hansen.
Women's Care Clinic in Danville provides the love and support every woman deserves during pregnancy. The best news is all our services are free. Free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds for pregnancy confirmation, and even free consultations with medical professionals. And that's not all. We offer parenting education, mentoring for moms and dads, and help with adoption planning. We also work closely with many community agencies for all the support our families need. More than anything, Women's Care Clinic offers hope, compassion, and care to our clients of every age and background. We'd love to have you join us. To learn more, volunteer, or make a gift, visit danvillewcc.org or call 217-431-0987. Women's Care Clinic in Danville, changing lives one decision at a time.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments, and he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Marney LLC. Member SIPC.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermillion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Welcome back to Direct Line, Wednesday, March 13. Greg and Steph with Dean Crandall and Tracy Thomas. Dean, like I said, when you went through it, you had to get on an airplane to be a centurion. I had to travel, you know, to the northwest suburbs of Chicago. Tracy's driving every month to Indianapolis. And we've got good news. What's the good news?
It's coming. A cohort is coming to a town near you.
Yes. Very close.
Very close. Champaign. I've got a guy, Dr. Carl Radnitzer, is a recent graduate, and he is bringing this a cohort to Champaign.
Yeah.
And that'll be starting in July.
It's going to be at my home church, First Christian Church of Champaign. Mm-hmm. And I know we've got multiple people at Second Church that are looking at it. And I think throughout Central Illinois, several people are going to be looking at it. Now, one of the things that I love about this, Colson had this vision, what was it, early 2000s to start the Centurion program?
Right.
Is that right? And he wanted to lean into 100 people a year. And you were part of that.
Yeah, I was class number 7.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've been able to meet Senator John Crane, who I think was class number 1 when he went through that.
Right.
And that's great. 100 is great. But when Colson died, his successor, John Stone Street, said, I think we can do more than 100. And what is it, 1,500 this year, something like
that?
Yeah. Are going through that.
Right.
And so here's my question for you. It seems like this program is growing. You know, they're starting to add more cohorts. I can't believe Indianapolis didn't have a cohort. That's kind of crazy to think about. That. But is that because more and more people are thinking in worldview terms? Is it because the culture is seemingly getting further and further away from what we would say a Christian core? Is it just kind of that perfect convergence of events? What do you think? Why are so many leaning in?
That's a great question. I think it's because the cultural moment we live in now is so confusing.
Yeah.
And when we question the identity of a man and a woman, I mean, I don't know how we got to this point.
Right.
And many other things. And so I think a lot of people, especially Christians, are saying, what on earth do we do? I mean,
right.
Is there a way out? What do we do at this point? And I think that the Colson Center gives a very good, firm foundation on truth.
Yeah.
And people are seeking that.
Yeah.
And it's to be expected in a time of confusion that people are saying, how do we get here and how do we get out of here?
Yeah. Tracy, any thoughts as someone going through the program right now? I thought of our Indianapolis group. I'm helping with the Indianapolis group a little bit this year. And I just look around and, you know, we've got a guy like Zach that's like 26.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a guy named Herb that's 76. You know, I mean, you've got kind of everywhere in between. What do you see happening with that?
In all honesty, I think we grew up, I'm 55, so I grew up in the 1980s, you know, the whole more majority thing and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I think sometimes being the visiting team kind of wakes people up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Christianity is the home team any longer.
Right.
I think we lost that probably a couple decades ago, honestly, right, if you want to be honest about it. But it's become abundantly clear. And I think the opposing worldviews have become more out there in the open.
Yeah.
And things that we wouldn't discuss even 10 years ago,
mm-hmm, right,
are conversations we're having.
Well, and social media has been a force multiplier very wacky things.
Yeah. Yes. This is a dumb question, but is it only Christians and believers that are involved in this, or do you have non-believers who are also seeking truth that decide to join this?
You gotta be a Christian.
You have to have a statement of faith.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty thorough application process.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
You don't just show up.
Yeah, no,
with your donut and coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think... you know, not everyone that applies will be accepted.
Okay.
There's an acceptance, you know, process that unfolds.
Okay.
Because it is a deep dive. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with Tracy that it's not hard, but like I went to Africa on that mission trip 2 years ago when I was going through the program, and I had grand plans to do a lot of Colson Fellows work when I was in Africa. I didn't do anything for 2 weeks, you know, and I got back and I mean, it took a while to catch up. You don't feel very spiritual when you're doing 10 consecutive devotions, you know, on a Friday morning to try to catch up, you know? And so that's the thing I would say. You've got to be willing to make that commitment to say, I think you said an hour or two a day, you know, you're going to have to lean in. And
get up an hour early.
Yeah. And yet that's a great discipline, you know, when you pick that up. Because for me, when the Colson Fellows program ended, I thought, where am I going to go from here? You know, I developed that discipline. Mm-hmm. So,
and are you watching Fox News an hour a day?
Yeah.
So there's an hour you could carve out. Nothing against Fox News.
I'm not watching any news for an hour a day. I kind of have crumpled up the newspaper and thrown it away, which I know you're saying is not the best thing to do.
Well, I think one of the things that Colson does is it gives you some great resources to tap into that will help you understand better what's going on in our culture and being able to respond to that culture, because it's more than just understanding. It's right. How do we restore? How do we become co-creators with God? Recreators, I guess. And so there are a lot of different books and resources that they share with us. There is a series of videos called What Would You Say videos.
That's good.
And the website is whatwouldyousay.org.
Yeah. And they're free resources.
You can see them on YouTube. They're 4 to 5 minute videos. They're very short. They address questions. I really love those. I've used those in my own teaching with my own students at church. Bible Project videos, right? Bibleproject.com. Bibleproject.com just kind of talks about gives you a concise look at books of the Bible, different thoughts and ideas within Christianity. Those videos typically 7 to 8 minutes long. There are a lot of great tools that are out there that you can access pretty easily.
That's good stuff. Hey, Dean, I know you've been many years since you went through it, but as you were going through it, was there any, maybe one book or two books, or now you had the blessing of actually hearing live, you know, a Colson and some of these giants, but what would you say touched you the most?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I had to think about that a long time. Yeah. One that, Chuck's book, How Now Shall We Live, was, I went through that last night again. And how prescient he was in 1999, seeing this cultural slide.
He was a prophet.
And he, so that really became the framework for, you know, fall restoration and everything. But also, a guy that doesn't teach at Colson anymore is Ken Boa, Dr. Boa. And go to kenboa.org, B-O-A, just like the snake.
Excellent.
Yeah, his book, Conformed to His Image, is his seminal piece of work. And just a tremendous intellect.
When I went through the program and gathered for the monthly cohort, we watched Ken Boa teachings every month for our teaching time. You had told me about Ken Boa, but I hadn't touched it. And man, it is excellent. It's really good. So.
So if somebody is listening and they're interested in the Champagne cohort, how do they find out more information? And
Tracy, you got that, or you want me to take it?
No, I can take it a little bit. You can step in. There's a lot of information on the Colson Fellows website. It's colsonfellows.org. Colsonfellows.org. There is actually a link on that page to a webinar that they repeat every 2 weeks on a Monday. And you could also watch it recorded afterwards. And that webinar, next one is going to be on Monday, March 19th. And it's every 2 weeks now through June. It gives you much more information about the program itself. And also you can also sign up for the program on that website.
And you can call me. Give me a call, Greg, you know, at 217. You want to give the number, or you want me to give the number? 442-7306. You're going to learn that number someday. But yeah, reach out to us. We want to be resources for you along the way. Definitely. Did you have one more resource you want to talk about or not, Dean?
No. Well, okay. Chuck recommended a book, The Victory of Reason by Dr. Rodney Stark. That talks about, in fact, the tagline on that is how Christianity led to freedom, capitalism, and Western success. And so, you know, a world, it's tough to imagine a world without hospitals or libraries or pianos or eyeglasses and science itself. You know, Christianity has been so falsely accused of being anti-science. That is so ridiculous. When most of the Pascal and all the famous scientists of the past were very devoted believers. He chronicles in that book just how Christianity changed the very face of the world in all aspects of life, in law, in politics, in banking, and certainly in human rights.
Trace, any resources that as you've gone through this have just jumped off the page for you?
I got to reread again C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, and I will be honest, when I first read it as a young college student, I died. To hear it again, to listen to it on audio as I read it, just absorbed it. Fantastic. Dr. Glenn Sunshine's book, Why You Think the Way You Do, Historical Look at World Views from the Roman Empire Through Today. Thaddeus Williams, my goodness, Thaddeus Williams.
Biola University.
Yep. Confronting Injustice Without Compromising Truth is the name of his book. And he talks about how just social, you know, how do we implement justice in a way that honors God? And it's just well done.
That book was so helpful because I had never really thought about it. He says really there's only two ways to approach injustice. Mm-hmm. You can approach it with a gospel-centric movement or a secular progressive movement. And he said, we have to be passionate about doing something about injustice, but sometimes if we're not careful, we head down the wrong path.
Well, one of the resources I had never studied was Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is a wonderful piece of work. It lets you know just what a towering intellect Dr. King was, and his command of Christian history. And so every American should read that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I want to share two resources that really touched me when I went through it. I'd never heard of Greg Kokel before, and he wrote a book called Tactics. And I think what caught me when I first started reading about it is he talked about the Columbo method. And I'm a big Columbo fan, you know, which is probably not the most culturally relevant television
really
show. Right, I know. But basically the whole idea of, you know, ask questions. When someone's trying to put you on the defensive, what did Jesus do? He asked questions.
Yeah.
And that has just been invaluable for me. I've loved that so much. So that's a great book that I would recommend to any Christian. If you are serious about sharing your faith and engaging people in your life that maybe are not Christians for whatever reason, Tactics is a great book. The book that probably touched me the most, and I listened to it on audio, and then I loved it so much I bought it and I read it again, it was Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And, you know, I've been around Islam, I would say. I've been to seminars. I've been to classes. I learned so much about that. And
you've been to Lebanon.
I've been to Lebanon. That's right. What an impacting read. Nabil Qureshi, it is a tearjerker. I'll say that. You know, it doesn't have the happily ever after story that I thought might be coming. But it is, I would say, must read. And then, you know, we talked about the webinars and the podcasts that are out there. Probably the thing that grabbed me the most early on was just a John Stone Street speech that they made as a webinar. And he called it the Ben Kuiper proposal. And he said, you know, you've got the Benedict option, Rod Dreher, you know, basically withdraw. You got Abraham Kuiper, you know, who I think he was prime minister of, I think the Netherlands. That's right.
Dutch, yeah.
But in it, he asked a question that I couldn't get out of my mind. And he said, are we in a Wilberforce moment or are we in a Bonhoeffer moment? And he said, you know, Wilberforce wanted to change his world. He wanted to end slavery in Great Britain, and he did it. He lived long enough to see it. Bonhoeffer wanted to wipe out the evil Nazi regime, and he missed it by, what, 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, our call isn't to say, well, it's got to be Wilberforce or it's got to be Bonhoeffer. We are faithful, you know? We are happy warriors to your word, and we trust that, you know, God's going to make all things right in the end. So any final parting shots that you guys have about the Colson Fellows program that you want to throw out?
Sign up.
Yeah.
Count the cost because if you're in a season of life where you're busy, wait.
Yeah.
Because it's time consuming.
Right. Yeah. Right.
As you said, it's not hard, but it's really,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Just a reminder to reach out to us if you have any questions about Colson, questions about these resources. We throw names and books and webinars and videos, all kinds of information at you. Please give us a call at Second Church, area code 217-442-7306. Stephanie, write that down. 217-442-7306.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, we're going to go to break. I'm going to keep you guys with us, though, because I want to talk about Second Church. I want to talk about some of the things that are happening during Holy Week that I'm excited about, some of the things that are unfolding. There's a ladies event coming up in mid-April that we want to make sure everybody's aware of. You're listening to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, March 13. Greg and Steph with Dean Crandall and Tracy Thomas, and we'll be right back after this.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments, and he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan and Stanley Smith Marney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Hi, I'm Linda Darby, and I'm part of the third generation of Darbys to own Sunset Funeral Home and Memorial Park. Since the 1960s, our family has been proud to serve Vermilion County by providing unmatched dedication and personalized service to families.
And I'm Ross Darby. I'm part of the fourth generation in our family business. I want to introduce you to Hall of Fame plaques and signs. We promise to provide you with the same level of service at our sign shop that you've grown accustomed to at our funeral homes and cemetery. With a name like Hall of Fame,
it's gonna be great!
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermilion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Welcome back to Direct Line. It's Stephanie and Greg with our friends Dean and Tracy. And I wanted to review something that you talked about last week. You talked about Pastor Michael Scott getting his hair cut.
Michael Todd.
I mean, Michael Todd.
Michael Scott, I think, is
Michael
from
Scott
a TV
from
show.
Office.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Should he be a pastor or not?
No.
Yes, yes.
Michael Todd. Okay,
yes.
Yeah, I got my thing.
Transformation
confused.
Church.
Yeah,
yes.
He got his face shaved while and his hair cut while he was preaching a message. And
yes.
And then last week at Second Chance Church, Perry Noble lifted 400 pounds on stage during his sermon. So
and
I want to know,
should I do that? Should I try to bench press 400 pounds?
I don't know. Do you go to the gym? Do you lift weights
at all? I have not bench pressed anything.
So probably no.
20
I don't
years.
Think you should do that.
Maybe that could be a sermon illustration in itself. So
what do you get? Well, you're an elder. What do you think of that kind of funny business? On
I get
stage?
A haircut like, during the sermon. I mean, bench press during the sermon. Yeah, what do you think?
I think we need to bring that before the elders before you do
what,
that.
That's what she said last week. Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Not interested in that.
Off air. Let's talk about it.
It is just crazy though. But again, I think, and we mentioned this last week. That's one of the things I love about Second Church, and I think a lot of churches, is they're saying, when you show up on Sunday morning, we're going to worship Jesus, mm-hmm. and we're going to open God's Word, and we're going to see what's 1 Peter have for us. Mm-hmm. You know, this would be a Sunday to skip the text, mm-hmm. you know, because this text, it's all about suffering. Mm-hmm. And Peter, mm-hmm. you know, is pretty clear. You know, if you're a Christian, it's not are you going to suffer, it's how are you going to mm-hmm. handle it. Mm-hmm. And he, of all people, I mean, he's writing when Nero is running the show. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things I love about our church is the emphasis on God's Word. You know, Tracy, you're the discipleship minister. I mean, you've seen it up close and personal. You're doing a great job, by the way. But it just seems like there's this increased hunger with people saying, I want to go deeper. Do you see that?
Absolutely. One of my main roles is conversations about next steps, right? Helping mm-hmm. people on a one-on-one basis. Because we talk about the church's engagement pathway, and we want everybody to engage in that. But at the same time, the way that happens typically is somebody individually, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and says, I need to take that next step. And so, I think it's great that we do that. You know, I'm glad we treat the Word of God with dignity and honor. We're not punting the Bible, right. as I think some church did here recently.
I know.
Literally. Punting the scriptures.
Yeah.
So. On Super Bowl Sunday, that was their point, right?
Yeah.
Yikes. I love it. Hey, really excited about Holy Week. You know, and I shared last week, and you guys may disagree with this, but I've said that I think Protestants do Easter Sunday really well. We do Resurrection Sunday really well. But I think we have not always leaned into the entire week well. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what Maundy Thursday was for like the first 25 years of my life, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember going to a Good Friday service. Now, that may be on me growing up, but I think we've got some great opportunities that I kind of want to talk through. And it begins with Palm Sunday. You know, Palm Sunday is just a week and a half away. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we do every year is we take up an offering. And so this year we're blessing the Easter at the Arena Project, the Ides Food Pack Project, and the Kuki Christian Church Mission in Northeast India that has been completely forced to relocate. I mean, genocide has broken out against the Christian tribe. When I say Kuki, that's not like, it's not like crazy people. It's K-U-K-I, tribe of people. Now, have you met T. Lun Kim?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so T. Lun Kim's one of my heroes of the faith for the great work that he's done, and we're going to be able to bless it. And then Thursday night, brand new service. Talk a little bit about Monday, Thursday service.
Well, Monday, Thursday will be in Next Gen, focusing really on communion.
Right.
Taking communion together and remembering Jesus on that Last Supper. And so it'll be about 45 minutes, I think, and we'll take communion together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the main focus.
And that's the, you know, if you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I mean, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, Tracy, you just taught on this with the Oasis Bible Study. We were going through Exodus, and you taught on the Passover.
On the Passover, yeah.
That's the roots,
that's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
So it's really important. And then on Good Friday, we're doing something different this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a tenenbray service. Mm-hmm. I don't know, have you guys ever been a part of a tenenbray service before?
No.
A tenenbray service really is a visual illustration throughout the service of what happened when Jesus died on the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, and it probably started like a normal, typical Friday, but when Jesus dies on the cross, there's darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, darkness goes throughout the entire land, and throughout the service, it's going to get a little bit darker and a little bit darker and a little bit darker. When I was in my former ministry at Clinton, we did a community Good Friday service every year, and we would have kind of spats, I would call it, within our ministerial association about what should Good Friday be. And there were some that were saying, every time it were in the church, it needs to be celebratory, the drums need to be rocking, you know, the lights need to be moving, even on Good Friday. And I think some of us said, you know, this is the time of the year to be more somber, to be more reflective. And so I'm glad we don't have battles like that at Second Church of Christ. And then Easter at the Arena. Steph, talk about Easter at the Arena.
That will be when the drums are rocking, and the lights are moving, and we will celebrate.
Yeah. Dean, how many Easter at the Arenas have you been a part of? All of them, probably? Yeah?
Yeah, we were out of town on a couple of them. But
okay.
27?
I don't even know. I know it goes back to Randy Kirk, I think. Wasn't it during the Kirk era that the idea came up? Yeah.
Right.
And then he came up with the idea and then left the next year, I think, right? But yeah, I love the idea. I love the vision, though, because this would have been like 1995, I think, when it started. Does that sound right?
About
along
then,
along those lines?
Yeah, it's we did it as, you know, stewardship to the community.
Yeah.
Have a crowd, which our building wouldn't hold.
Right, right.
And so, it was quite a learning curve.
Yeah.
It's become quite a smoother production at this point, but in the early days, oh my goodness,
pretty rough.
We had stage issues, and oh gosh, we need lights over here, and I can't hear you, and
But again, that's March 31st, Easter's early this year, 10 a.m., Palmer Arena, Danville Civic Center. It's going to be a great day. Last year, we were blown away. We went into Easter. You were in charge of baptisms, and we knew of five, Tracy.
That's right.
And we ended up with 58. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just kept coming.
Yeah.
And so it was funny because we thought, oh, we got plenty of shirts. We got 35 shirts or something like that. And so I'm assuming we have more shirts for this year. Is that right?
More shirts and towels and everything else. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really
cool. And the water will be warm.
Let's
well, you know, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but the water was too hot, and they had to go buy bags of ice. Those heaters work. They definitely
The choir's back this year.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
It's adults and children. I think I have 10 elementary age children that are going to participate in choir this year. So I love when we're all together for this service.
Yeah.
All the venues all together.
It's good stuff. Ladies Spring Luncheon is going to be on Saturday, April 13th from 10 to noon. Now, you've been a part of Ladies Spring Luncheons in the past. What is it?
It's just a gathering. It's a classy event. Donna Danielle puts on a classy event. And I think our speaker this year is from Texas. Jake Weiss's aunt is going to be here speaking. So we just have a special speaker. We have a good brunch. I'm flying my daughter home, and she's going to sing with me.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
I mean, that's not the big draw, but you know, I'm excited that she's going to come back.
Yeah.
But it's just a fun time for women to be together for a couple of hours and fellowship and just have fun.
And we'll have more information mm-hmm. on that as, you know, the mm-hmm. weeks unfold. But really thankful for Donna leaning into this, mm-hmm. bringing it back. And I want to give a shout out to Dale Daniil. You know, he put together this video for the Core Reentry Program, mm-hmm. and it was rolled out last Wednesday at a Vermilion Advantage event. Mm-hmm. And Dale just did a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. He really did. And we're really blessed to have them serving at mm-hmm. Second Church. Well, guys, that's the show. We're all done. And on the way out, the good news segment today is my lovely wife, Marla's birthday. And I'm not going to say how old she is, but she's the same age as you, Tracy. So
anybody that was listening yes, will know.
Yes. And I'll tell you, man, I'm just so blessed to have her as a life partner, a ministry partner. You know, the world of education and the world of ministry isn't always birthday celebration friendly. So we had a birthday meal at 6:15 this morning. We had Mad Goat Pop-Tarts before she went to work and I came to radio. But I love her. I'm thankful for her. She's a great wife, great mom, great grandma, and look forward to spending many more with her.
Happy birthday to Marla.
All right. Well, on behalf of Dean and Tracy and Garrett, the sound guy, this is Greg and Steph saying thanks for listening to Direct Line. We'll see you next week.